From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast. Today, sunny and 84 degrees. By tonight, partly cloudy and 58 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny and a high near 81. Friday, sunny and 85. And Saturday, about the same, sunny and 85 degrees. 81 degrees now. KQEN news time is 12:37.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer joining us this afternoon. We'd had this planned for a few days, and the timing ended up working out as a good opportunity following some of the announcements and comments this morning from Oregon Governor Kate Brown. Dr. Bob is one of the governor's health advisors. Thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, this morning, about an hour or so ago, the governor announcing some change in Oregon and tightening the limits for the size of indoor gatherings and venues, and also lowering the age requirement for wearing a mask in indoor public spaces and outdoors where social distancing cannot be maintained. Let's start there and talk about some of the state data. The comment from the governor included saying that we've stepped out on the ice and the ice is cracked.
I think that's a great analogy. So you'll remember before we started, the state had 20 to 80 cases a day. But now over the last 2 weeks, we've been steadily over 200 and sometimes as high as 400. So we really truly have had an increase in number of cases. And so this is time to be worried about that increased case count.
Now, the indoor gathering limit, that includes a lot of things like gyms and related organizations, also churches as well. Now, one of the things when the indoor gathering limit was first put out a ways back, and in a lot of the guidance we've seen both in the state and nationwide, has talked about the idea of the 6 foot, 6 square feet, essentially, of space per person. So under this, in larger places, which could be a lot of different things, the limit stays at 100. How does that work with sort of the square footage concept of the initial idea?
Well, the initial idea allowed people to do it up to 36 square feet per person. And under these new recommendations, it appears that people have even more square footage per person.
And now, prior, for instance, you could have up to 250 people. Now, though, you can only have 100. So isn't that going in the other direction? But what you're saying is more square footage per person, I guess that's right. But that means less people in a lot of different places.
Right. So in a place that might have previously been able to hold 200, they'll be down to 100. So we recognize that this is a big restriction. You know, we've also seen here in Douglas County that I think people in big venues have done an excellent job of controlling spread. And we in Douglas County have not tied any of our outbreaks to large gatherings.
And so now that goes in place. Also, masks down to age 5. Talk about that, because if I recall correctly, earlier you talked about information from the pediatric doctors and from the CDC talking about younger children being less likely to spread COVID-19. So why bring the mask requirement even lower?
Well, because we're seeing more cases, and it's one more thing we can do. What we found from very good data from South Korea this week is that young kids do spread it less, but they do spread it, and that's a reason. The other thing that we see is that, and I see in the office every day, that kids wear masks. They do a great job with their masks, and actually they're frequently telling their parents, "Oh, Mommy, forgot to put your mask on." So we think this is just going to increase overall awareness.
Now, later today or tomorrow, the state will be putting out more information regarding school plans from the Oregon Department of Education. The mask requirement obviously factors in there. Also, one of the requirements, and all these go into effect on Friday, in Phase 2 reopening counties, such as Douglas, restaurant and bar service ends at 10 o'clock. Previously, they'd been allowed to remain open till midnight. Talk about the reasoning there.
Well, in the rest of the country, bars have been a really big source of spread. We've seen a couple of cases that we think have occurred in bars. Bars are problematic for a couple of reasons. One is they tend to be loud, so people tend to be close to each other so they can hear each other, and they tend to talk loud. So talking loud, being close, we think are big risk factors, and in many other places, bars have been really an epicenter of spread.
The governor also addressing the potential for tourism restrictions soon, saying that Oregon officials are in conversations with their counterparts in other states. And the governor mentioned the potential for restricting travel from states with higher case counts, except for work purposes. What are your thoughts?
Well, actually, a bunch of our cases are related to out-of-state travel. So in the last 6 weeks, we've seen cases from Alaska, Washington, Nevada, Utah, Idaho, California, Texas, Florida, and Michigan. So we've had not very many cases that are de novo to Oregon. Many of these cases are reflect out-of-state travel. So the family that goes to a high-risk area and then comes back and brings it back, the person who goes to a wedding or a tournament or something in another state and brings it back, or somebody from another state who comes to visit here, goes back home and finds out they were positive. So, yeah, we think for Douglas County, because we have such a low rate here, every other place around us is higher. And so, really, people have to be worried about travel.
So if you were to take all the Douglas County cases related to travel in recent weeks, if those had not occurred, then our number, which you've said is very low in comparison to many other places, would be that much lower.
Yes.
And
it would be very low. It's already the third lowest in the state, and it would be even lower still.
And obviously this time of year, though, people have been cooped up, if you will, since March and are itching to get out and do something outdoors or travel or something. This is obviously kind of a hard one for people to cope with.
This is a very hard one. You know, it's been a long time since we've seen friends and loved ones, and people have weddings and other things scheduled. A couple of things we've seen, most of these have been indoor gatherings that have spread the disease. Outdoor gatherings, much less likely to spread the disease. So if you're going to have a party or something, have it outdoors. Outdoors seems to be 10 or 20 or even 100 times safer than indoors. The second thing is if you're the least bit sick, stay home. So we have had one where somebody, when they were sick, went to a wedding and went to a church. Those are really, really, really problematic activities, because that's how it will spread. So if you are going to visit people, be outside.
You know, it's interesting, thinking about the travel aspect, just as we were getting ready for this, I was kind of running my schedule through my head here, and I realized that outside of one trip to Elkton in April, I have not been beyond, let's see, Umpqua Community College or Winston since March, and that just is unfathomable, because normally I would have gone to the beach once or twice, would have gone to Portland, things like that. It's really creates a whole different world.
And it is hard. I mean, summertime is a time to enjoy, is a time to be outside. But this is also a time that we could get this under control enough so that we can do things like open schools and further expand the economy. You know, the tourism economy is really hurting. I saw that plane flights are down by 90%, not because people are reluctant to fly when there's so much disease.
We'll come back to some of these things related to the announcement today in a bit, but let's kind of take a look at COVID-19 from the world and state and county level. Where do things stand right now? What are some of the hot spots around the world?
Well, the hotspots around the world, the U.S. unfortunately remains a hotspot, but Brazil, South Africa, and India are three areas that we're especially concerned about. India, such a big, populous, and crowded country, could really have an enormous spread. And we worry about South Africa because South Africa is kind of a harbinger of what happens to us 6 months earlier, 6 months later, because they're on the opposite side of the equator. So they're just in the depths of their winter, just like we're in the heights of our summer. And so they're frequently a harbinger of what happens here. And seeing the huge number of cases in South Africa is very worrisome.
What about around the nation?
Well, around the nation, it's been California, Florida, Texas, and then other states in the South. So when you look, for example, day after day, Florida and Texas and California are having about 10,000 cases every day. You know, at 10,000 cases, there's no way to have this disease under control. And in Texas especially, they're being really hard hit by hospitalizations and ICU. And Florida is having a high death rate. So when we look at Florida's overall death rate, you know, they went for many months with very few cases and very few deaths. But now if you look over the last few weeks, it really is quite frightening.
Now, is any of that tied to Florida's demographics?
So Florida has unusual demographics. They actually have a lower rate of seniors than does Oregon. They have lots of young people and then a smattering of old people. But they have a lot of very vulnerable people. So we think what happens in the community is a disease comes to the community and it gets spread by young people. Go out to bars, go out to tournaments, go to parties and whatever. But then they go back either to work at the nursing home or they go to work at a hospital and then spread it. So, you know, Florida for many months averaged less than 50 deaths. And now, you know, they're averaging well over 100 deaths a day. So, you know, it really is a kind of a worry here in an area with old people. And Douglas County has a higher percentage of seniors than does Florida.
Interesting. What about Arizona? That seems to be a hot spot in especially some areas right now.
Yeah, Arizona is another real hot spot. And again, it came in mostly through young people, but is now starting to affect the senior population, and especially the very vulnerable seniors who are nursing homes.
And of course, there are a number of people, including a number of residents right here in the Umpqua Valley, who live in Oregon part of the year, then go down to Arizona in the fall. If people normally have that plan, some folks own or rent property in both places. What about factoring in your fall plans if normally you'd be heading back to Arizona to snowbird, as it were?
Well, right now you might consider holding off. Now, who knows what it's going to look like in a few months. But right now, Arizona is really a hot spot, and we worry about people coming from those other areas. Now, if you do need to go to another area, I talked to somebody yesterday, you need to go to a funeral in Texas, and wondered what they should do. Well, the recommendation would be if you have to go to the funeral, go to the funeral, but when you come back to quarantine for 2 weeks.
And, of course, some people talk about travel. Some people who have work deemed essential in medical areas, technology, things like that, are still having to go out of state sometimes. Now, when the governor talked about travel restrictions being potential in the near future, she said, of course, except for work purposes. A lot of things you can do virtually these days, but just certain types of work, equipment, things like that, especially in some aspects of the medical field, some folks have to go out and do this work hands-on. So that gives them probably potential, or rather a need to really be extra cautious about what they do when they have to go on those trips.
Right. So there are many workers who need to work, either local workers or people come from other areas. I mean, we think of people who drive truck or people who do other work like that. They do need to move. In addition, migrant workers have been a real big concern because migrant workers do come from areas that have higher levels of disease. So California and Washington that have higher levels of disease, and then come to Oregon to pick crops. We worry that they have a high rate. And we've seen several outbreaks among migrant workers and among food processors.
And we've seen that in Oregon, a couple of counties as well. Even a Walmart distribution center announced yesterday by the Oregon Health Authority where they'd had 23 cases related to workers or family of workers of that facility.
Yes, and I think we're going to see in the next week or so big outbreaks in Douglas County related to workplaces.
And obviously, this time of year involves agriculture. That's an aspect here to deal with as well. What about these places in Eastern Oregon in particular, the distribution center, I suppose, could be one, but also some of these food processing plants seems to be places that have been hard hit.
They have been very hard hit. So we look at, for example, Umatilla County. They've had just scads of cases related to workplaces. But what happens is once it gets into a workplace, then it goes home. And this is a funny disease. You see some cases that result in no further cases. So the person has it, and then you go all their contacts, and nobody else gets it. But then other cases where one person gets it and every one of their contacts gets it. So it is truly a mysterious disease, and we don't know how to distinguish the really infectious people from those who will be less infectious.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us on Inside Douglas County. You've talked about outdoors being much safer. This time of year, people love to be outdoors. A lot of people have been working on their properties, yards, decks, things like that. What about eating outdoors when you go out to eat? Now, of course, some some restaurants are already set up for this. Some bars as well have some of that. But for instance, in Eugene, they revamped some downtown streets to allow restaurants to have outdoor dining to be safer. Should we be seeing more of that, including around the Umpqua Valley?
I think we should. New York City especially spent some time and some planning to increase outdoor seating. It's been not only very popular in New York, but also we think has been really quite safe. So, yeah, again, indoors, outdoor, about 10 times safer outdoors than indoors. So if I were going to go out to eat somewhere, I would definitely eat outdoors. The only one restaurant that I've eaten in with a group, we did it because we did it outdoors.
Let's talk about education in the fall. You're in one of the groups advising the governor in that area as well. And, of course, the Oregon Department of Education working on new guidance that will come out today or possibly tomorrow. It'll be revised around the 10th of August, I understand, as well. What are some of the things that you're seeing potentially for education going into the fall?
Well, education in the fall is going to be tough. You know, we're at a level of disease in the United States which is far higher than the countries in Europe or in Australia, New Zealand, Japan, when they open schools. So we're gonna be carefully looking at that today. And the governor hinted about that today in her press conference. I think if kids are going to be in school, I think we're going to be requiring face masks. I think if kids are in school, we're going to be requiring lots of distancing. And I think the other thing we're going to be doing is doing in small groups called cohorts, so that if one person is sick, they don't infect the entire school.
And one of the things I've seen on some of the initial state information, in fact, I saw some early this morning, that would include things like if you're in a classroom in a district that did have in-person classes, that lunch, for instance, those kids would stay together. There wouldn't be going to the lunchroom. Lunch would come to them. Music would come to them. Things like that. Maybe even the idea of having their own part of the playground or something.
I think that's probably what you'd say.
And what about sports? There's obviously been a lot of back and forth talk about that. We're seeing other states, Washington State yesterday, moving all the, I think just about all, outside of maybe cross country or track, sports that are normally in the fall to the spring. Are you expecting more of that in Oregon?
We don't know what's going to happen with sports. We think that some sports would be really quite safe. So cross country, singles tennis, things like that will be really quite safe, done outdoors and done at a distance. Soccer probably pretty safe, but it's going to be really hard to know how you do football. Big teams, lots of travel, lots of equipment, and lots of time where you're in very close contact with others. So we're a little unclear about how that's going to go, but I think some sports are going to be out there, and certainly cross country and soccer are two great sports.
And travel is definitely a component of how you make things work. You can't presumably stuff 60 kids in the same bus.
Yes. We think that bus travel is especially dangerous. We certainly know from other countries that buses are a great place to spread disease. So there's stories of buses in other countries where one person's infected, and then a week later, almost everybody is infected. So we do worry about bus travel. Now, some areas have dealt with sports by saying that the kids need to get to the games with their family units, and that would work. But that obviously then is really hard for kids who don't have parents who are able to attend.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, any final thoughts as we navigate through COVID-19?
So the good news Douglas County is doing well, and we really, really, if we all work together over the next 6 weeks, we can beat this back to where we did in May.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on today.
Thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.